The point where Chitraketu was at his climax of his ecstasy after seeing the Sankarshan. So we did not enter into the prayers. We were just in the primary stage of the darshan of Chitraketu. So we saw in the last class how Chitraketu came out of illusion by getting the talk from his own small body, Ashashoka. Sometimes a child can enlighten even the grown-up people. You all know the pastime of Ramanandan. He was a small boy. When his father once went out of station, he told his wife that, ask my son to offer the bhoga to Lakshmi Gopinath. So, when the boy went to offer laddu to Gopinath, Gopinath wasn't eating it, and the boy started weeping, thinking that I have committed some blunder in the puja. And then Gopinath, seeing the genuineness of his bhakti, he picked up the laddu and he ate it. When the boy came with the empty plate, the mother was surprised that the Lord eat it and the boy ate it. So, this is Ramadhar Gita. Imagine if Damodar takes a laddu into the puja room. Pranaram?
Yeah.
Imagine. If he comes out of the puja room with an empty plate, what do you think mother is likely to think? Yeah, now you can sit down. Isn't it? Maybe my naughty son has eaten it himself. So when the husband came back, she told him. Then the father was wanting to know whether the son is so devoted that the Lord ate from his hand or whether the son only ate it. So, second time when Raghunandan went inside again, Lord wasn't appearing. Again he pleaded and begged and prayed and cried. When the Lord picked up the laddu, at that time Raghunandan's father, Mukunda, was so shocked that he said, Lord immediately kept the laddu back. Again, he stood in his posture like this. So, at that time, father told, Mukunda told his wife, look at our son, his devotion is so great that Lord himself is, you know, eating from his hands. He only ate half, Lord only ate half, and balance had to catch it back. Later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu remembered this. He asked Mukunda, who is the father, who is the son? He asked. Are you the father of Raghunandan or is Raghunandan your father? He asked him. So, sometimes children can teach us better lessons than we can learn ourselves in our lives. There was a very proud army officer. He used to go in the battalion to different places. When he would come, everybody would be in fear. He was a very sharp observer. Nobody would dare to stand in front of him. So he would go to the canteen and touch the table like this. Like this and show, what is this? He will not even speak. He would do like this and show. Like that he would ask him. And then they would immediately bring a cloth and brush and clean the place. Sorry sir, they would say. So one day this army officer, he was quite a grown up man. He took his grandson with him. So when he walked with his grandson, the grandson put his hand below the table, like this and showed. He showed his grandfather, what is this? And the grandfather was so ashamed, seeing that he said, I never thought like this. And I only see the top, my grandson has seen at the bottom. So, sometimes children can teach us more powerful lessons than we can learn ourselves. So, there are many pastimes where children speak. In the Bhagavatam, you find once when there was one Suyajna, one king, he died in the battle. When he died, his lips were bitten by the teeth, like this. Like that, he fell on the ground, dead. Probably he must have attacked somebody. And before he completed his attack, he was killed. So at that time, in the evening time, many queens came and all these queens came and cried loudly. They were not leaving the body, dead body, because almost sunset. So Yamaraj came in the form of a small child and he spoke to the queens. And the queens were taken by surprise. A small child is speaking so much philosophy. They were very eager to hear. So they heard. So there you find how this small boy Yamaraj is speaking such words of wisdom there. Similarly, another small boy Prahlad is speaking words of wisdom to his father Hiranyakashipu. Isn't it? You can say. So in this way, when a small child speaks philosophy, it's very interesting to hear. Everybody likes to hear. So here also, Sitaketu was enlightened by his small son, Arshashoka, who spoke philosophy, and it is mentioned that just as an elephant comes out of a muddy pool of water and never will enter again back there. So he came out of this muddy pool of material consciousness and Chitraketu became enlightened. Not only him, Pratidhuti and all the other queens also. So after that, what followed was something very amazing. He bowed down to Narada Muni, he took Diksha from him, he chanted the mantra. 7 days he fasted even from water. He didn't eat anything. So after 7 days of severe penance, here Lord Sankarshan is appearing in front of him and giving darshan to him. The ecstasy is explained in verse number 32.
Sarvottam shloka parabja vistaram premashulesai upamehayanmuhu premoparuddha kilavarna nirgamo naiva sakattam prasameeditum chiram.
With tears of love and affection, Chitraketu repeatedly moistened the resting place of the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Because his voice was choked in ecstasy, for a considerable time he was unable to utter any of the letters of the alphabet to offer the Lord suitable prayers.
We will recite the 31 now, the one verse before that. Very important.
Adarshanadvasta samasta kilvishaha. Vastamalan taskarano vyayan munihi. Vavriddha vatya pranaya shulochanaha.
As soon as Maharaj Chitraketu saw the Supreme Lord, he was cleansed of all material contamination. And Sichi,
all his impurities were cleansed away. Yes, by the tad darshana, by the darshan of the Lord. Yeah.
And situated in his original Krishna consciousness, being completely purified.
Sva means situated. Sva means in one's original position. Therefore you say in Sanskrit, swastya. How is your swastya? We say, swastya comes from sva, stha. Situate yourself in your original good health. That's called swastha. So, swastha, amala antakarana. Antakaran became amala. And he became swastha. Yes.
He became silent and grave, and because of love for the Lord, tears fell from his eyes and his hairs stood on end. With great devotion and love, he offered his respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead.
Yeah. See, these are some symptoms. He became silent and grave, and in love for the Lord, tears fell from his eyes. Great devotion and love, he offered namaskar to the Lord. So in this way he is getting darshan of the Lord. See, Prabhupada says in the last line in the purport, Chitraketu wanted to recite some poetry, first class poetry. He wanted to do this, but he was unable because of loving ecstasy. Therefore he had to wait for a considerable time before he could offer prayers.
So who felt a similar problem?
Dhruva
Maharaj also, yeah. Then he controlled his mind with intelligence and distincting the senses and everything. Now he starts offering prayers. Very wonderful prayers he is offering. So I am only going to read some of the prayers because they are very, very... I think last time I spoke this first one, the 34 purport, read the 34 purport.
Purport. The Lord and the devotees both conquer. The Lord is conquered by the devotees and the devotees are conquered by the Lord. Because of being conquered by one another, they both derive transcendental bliss from their relationship.
Yeah, this is very important. This is actually the language of transcendence. In the path of transcendence, you win by getting defeated. Amazing, huh? How do you win?
By getting defeated.
By getting defeated. Like Prabhupada said, when I met my spiritual master, I argued with him. How can the message of Lord Chaitanya be taken by people seriously? India is already under foreign subjugation. And his guru very powerfully preached to him. And Prabhupada says, my Guru Maharaj defeated me. And after saying that, Prabhupada laughed. Generally when you say you are defeated, is there anybody here who will laugh? Generally when we are defeated, we develop mood of vengeance towards the person who defeats us in this world, correct, no? And then we tell others, this time India got defeated by Pakistan, next year we will not leave it, correct, no? So we want to retaliate or take a revenge. Whereas Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj defeated me, and he laughed. So disciple loves to be defeated by Guru. He has no fear. Similarly, Krishna also, you will find, sometimes Krishna defeats devotees, sometimes devotees defeat Krishna. And in this way, it's a loving defeat between, just like father and son, sometimes when they play, you can see that son takes a stick and father takes another stick. They're fighting. Sometimes the son hits the father and father falls off the ground. You know, and the son climbs on his body and says, now I am victorious, you are defeated now. So the father feels happiness or sadness?
Happiness.
You are a little doubtful, anybody? What do you feel?
Happiness.
Happiness. Actually, father is happy to make the son happy. So, similarly, the father wants to agitate the son. That is another type of happiness. Sometimes the father defeats the son. And then son is defeated, he cries out. And father says, no, try once more. So in this way you will find, sometimes devotees of the Lord are apparently defeated by the Lord. One example I'll tell you. Arjuna was put in illusion in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He appeared like a fool, correct, no? Or Parikshit Maharaj was made to put a dead snake around the neck of Swami Krishi. He appeared to be like immoral, apparently, correct, no? Similarly, one of the devotees of the Lord, Chitraketu, later on was made to become Vritrasura. He appears to have become an asura. So these things appear to be a defeat for a devotee, but a devotee does not care. Like Vidura was driven out of the palace by Duryodhana. It appears to be a defeat. But do you think devotees feel sad about this?
No.
No. No. Devotees think by playing this role I can please the Lord. So they are ready to accept the role. So these are examples of devotee apparently getting defeated. Lord apparently getting defeated, there are examples. Like when Bhishma told Duryodhana, if Krishna doesn't break his vow, I will ensure that I will kill all the 5 Pandavas today in the battle. So finally what did Krishna do? He lifted the wheel of a chariot and he broke his vow. So who got defeated between Bhishma and Krishna?
Krishna.
Krishna got defeated. So there are examples of Lord getting defeated like this. In the binding of Mother Yashoda, when binding Krishna, Mother Yashoda and Krishna competition, Yashoda was not ready to give up. Again and again she was trying to bind Krishna. So who got defeated?
Krishna.
Krishna. Called, what is his name? What's his name?
Damodar.
Isn't it? So Damodar got defeated by Krishna. Isn't it? So you will see that sometimes the Lord gets defeated. Like when all Vrijavasis went to Kurukshetra and demanded that Krishna come back to Vrindavan, isn't it? And Krishna was wondering how to go. He was giving some excuses. Then they put him on a chariot, Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and they pulled. So who got defeated?
Jagannath.
Who got defeated?
Krishna.
Krishna got defeated. Because Krishna was dragged back to Vrindavan. Correct, no? So Krishna could not escape. So, sometimes Krishna is defeated, sometimes devotees are defeated. But whoever is defeated, it gives joy and ecstasy to both. And to the readers also of such pastimes. So, you can read this repeatedly in Srimad Bhagavatam. Like for example, when Vamana came in front of Bali Maharaj, who got defeated?
Bali Maharaj.
Bali Maharaj got defeated. When Bali was defeated, Lord put his third foot. Then afterwards, Lord became so pleased with Bali, then he became his doorkeeper. And who became conqueror now? Bali became conqueror. Initially he got defeated, but subsequently he became winner because Lord became his servant. Correct? No? So, in this way, if you, all of you think for a moment, if you have a devotee friend, sometimes if you are defeated by your devotee friend, if you still smile and you are joyful, that means you are in love with the devotee friend. Sometimes if the devotee friend defeated you, you feel your false ego popping out. You know, now that fellow defeated me, next time I will defeat that fellow. That means we are not in love. We are an ego. We have an egoistic relationship. Sometimes you will find a boss and a subordinate in a company. Sometimes subordinate comes with a better idea than the boss also. And the boss is so pleased, he not only pats on his back, he calls four or five others and tells them, just see my assistant, how smart he is. He is coming up with a better idea than me. That means boss and subordinate are in what relation?
Loving relation.
Loving relation. This is not true. Or if you ask a subordinate, he says, what am I doing? It's all my boss's guidance. I don't know anything. Then he is in love with the boss. So the Lord and the devotee relationship is like this. The Lord is called Ajita. Ajita jitopyasitaiste lokyam. That is one verse. Jnane prayasamodapasya namantayeva jivanti sanmukaritam bhavadiya vartham sthane stita shrutigatam tanuvar manobhir ye prayasho ajita jitopyasitaiste lokyam. See the last line. It says anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam sincerely, Santmukaritam Bhavadiya Vata, he says, and also tolerates all the difficulties that come in one's life by offering namaskar to Lord with body, mind and words. Such a person conquers the Lord, he says. Ajita Jitopyasita Strilokya. Lord is Ajita, but he becomes Jita. Lord is Ajitam, he becomes Parajitam, defeated by the devotee. So here, that is our first glorification, very beautiful glorification. He is saying that, oh Lord, you are indefeatable, but devotees defeat you. By their love, they are able to defeat you. Like you know the past time, once when Krishna escaped from the rasa dance, he escaped just to bewilder the gopis and you know, the yoga means plus, Prabhupada says, viyoga means minus. Vyoga means separation. So Krishna wanted to put them in separation. So in one place called Paita, you know, Krishna was standing in a 400 form, like a Narayana form. So when the gopis came searching, they saw Krishna standing at a distance in bluish form. So the gopis showed direction to him and they ran in that direction. But when they went closer, they saw it was not Krishna. Who it was?
Narayana.
Narayana. Then they were very sad. You know. Then they offered namaskar to Narayana and said, sir, did you see Krishna go this way? And then Narayana showed them direction. And they all went in that direction. But when lastly Radharani was the last one to come, and Radharani's eyes, the kajal had mixed with her tears and flowing down her cheeks. Her hair was disheveled. Seeing her in great pangs of separation, as soon as the 400 form of so-called Narayana, who is Krishna, saw her, what happened to him? The two hands melted away. So that is defeat. So who was defeated in this Radha and Krishna relation? Krishna was defeated. By?
Radharani.
Radharani's love. So that is what he is explaining here. It's very beautiful. This is a very important, I devoted so much time for this because This is very vital to understand this relationship between Lord and the devotee. If one really wants to progress in bhakti, because if we don't understand this concept, we will always be impersonal in dealing with Krishna. We will not be able to express proper devotion. So, such a beautiful first glorification. And then he goes on the next verse, 35th verse. Actually, these verses are slightly not in exact meter. You read the translation, 35th one.
My dear Lord, this cosmic manifestation and its creation, maintenance and annihilation are all but your opulences. Since Lord Brahma and the other creators are nothing but small portions of a portion of you, their partial power to create does not make them God, Ishvara. Their consciousness of themselves as separate lords is therefore merely false prestige. It is not valid.
Yeah. See, I am devoting time to these prayers for one reason. The Prabhupada purports in these prayers are very, very vital. We are going to learn many foundational aspects of our Krishna conscious philosophy. See here, Prabhupada is saying here that Brahma to ant, everybody is in Krishna's control. That's how he begins it. See, the Indra Gopa is one insect, red color insect you will find in the garden. Indra Gopa. And opposite of Indra Gopa is Indra, who is the king of
heaven.
Heaven. So in the Brahma Samhita, Brahma says from Indra to Indra Gopa, all are under Krishna's control. See the second para, he says, read that, so-called scientist.
The so-called scientists of modern materialistic world are proud because they have created modern facilities like great airplanes. But the credit for creating the airplanes should go to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not to the scientists who have invented or created the so-called wonderful products. The first consideration is the intelligence of the scientist. One must be elevated by the dictation of the Supreme Lord, who says in Bhagavad Gita, Matta Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha. From me,
this is the basis of Prabhupada's argument. Prabhupada says that two examples he gives, one of the automobile car, another one of the aeroplane, both he is giving. So first thing he is saying that, who created the brain of the person who created the aeroplane? Did he create his brain on his own? So Prabhupada, one place he challenges, even Einstein, did he create his own brain? Or at the time of death, can Einstein take out his brain and put it in somebody's head? Can he do such a thing? So, therefore he says, because God gave Einstein the brain, so the Nobel Prize should be first given to God. That is Prabhupada's argument, you see. Thank you, sir. See, we may say that we have heard in Bhagavad Gita, Balam Balavatam Chaham, as Buddhir Buddhimatam Asmi. But Prabhupada, how he can bring out examples so powerfully? When he says Buddhir Buddhimatam Asmi, he says Krishna gave Einstein the brain. That's the meaning of Buddhir Buddhimatam Asmi. I gave the brain to all the jivas, he says. So, here he gives two examples. If you see in the middle of the purport, he says that the Super Soul sits in the core of every living in his heart, and by his dictation, you know, he gives the creative faculties come from him. And then the ingredients to manufacture wonderful machines like airplanes are also supplied by the Lord, not by the scientists. Three things should be contemplated. One is, for example, take this, table. This table was made by some carpenter, correct, no? The wood, the sanmaika sheet, and all these things are actually materials are given by God. Do you agree? These are supplied by God, the materials for this. And tools which he used for making this, correct, no? Carpenter uses. For that, the metals and other things, they are also given by God, correct, no? And the brain of the carpenter is also given by God, correct? And his hands and legs, the instruments which he uses, they are also given by God. Then what does the carpenter do at all? He just does the work using all this. Correct, no? For that he gets a salary also. He doesn't deserve anything more than that. So that is Prabhupada's argument here in this. Like this, Chitraketu prayed. That Prabhupada says here that similarly automobiles example he gives below. Same, like aeroplane, similar example. See, the same thing was told by our Jarasandha in one of the prayers when he met Lord Krishna one-to-one personally. He said, my dear Lord, people appreciate the scientists, but I appreciate you, he said. Why? Because the scientists are creators, but they are subordinate creators. A subordinate inventors. You give them the brain, you give them the hands and legs, you give them the ingredients, all the metals. Like we have this Mendeley's periodic table, you know, where we write all the metals. Okay, they have put all the metals in a table, but they found it out all in this world which is created by the Lord. But they don't add God there. God created these metals which you have listed here. So the most important person, they leave him out. Correct, no? Isn't it? Like people go to the forest, they get the trees and they cut the trees and they put their seal of the company, name. So does the trees in the forest belong to the company? You have seen they put the seal of the company? Name of the company they put. So they take it from God and they put their own name. Correct, no? Like nowadays in India, sometimes people make some fake products and they put made in Japan. Instead of, sometimes they put made by Japan or some other name they put. Although it is made in India only. Correct, no? Similarly, people take God's trees and they put their names. So, similarly, some people take somebody's very wonderful PPT. So the first thing they do is cut his name. And they put their name. You see in that? Because they feel a little ashamed. If somebody sees the name, they will say that, hey, you are borrowing and copying and showing. So they put their own name. The living entity has this tendency, is envious. He doesn't want to acknowledge and recognize whom it actually belongs to. Somebody copies from somebody and gives a wonderful lecture. You ask, hey, such a wonderful lecture you gave. Where did you hear this? It's all my realization, Prabhu. But this realization, what you spoke today, seems 1 week ago I heard from somebody. So he gets afraid that, oh, I copied from that fellow, I think this fellow will find me out. Therefore, Prabhupada says here, scientists who are atheists, Prabhupada is very heavy with them. Because they are actually trying to dehumanize God or brush God aside and put their, you know, their rubber stamp. Take God's product and put their rubber stamp. That's what he's telling. And the next verse, anyway, the next verse, the essential point is this. There is an immediate cause and there is an ultimate cause. Like for example, here he gives, if you read in the middle of that next purport, somewhere, see after that Advaita Machitam, no? There you can go 10 lines below, the descent of the Lord, is there? The descent of the Lord into the atom and the universe indicates that without His presence, nothing could factually exist. Lord creates the universe, He enters inside. Then He creates atoms within the universe and He enters inside every atom. In this way, He is everywhere. He says, go ahead.
Scientists say that water is a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. But when they see a vast ocean, they are puzzled about where such a quantity of hydrogen and oxygen could have come from.
Like the ocean, for example.
They think that everything evolved from chemicals. But where did the chemicals come from? That they do not know. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of all causes, He can produce immense quantities of chemicals to create a situation for chemical evolution. We actually see that chemicals are produced from living entities. For example, elementary produces many tons of citric acid. The citric acid is not the cause of the tree. Rather, the tree is the cause of the acid. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of everything. He is the cause of the tree that produces citric acid. Bijam mam sarvabhutanam. Devotees can see that the original potencies causing the cosmic manifestation are not in chemicals, but in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For He is the cause of the chemicals.
See, a double argument Prabhupada is making. First of all, he says the living forms cannot come from chemicals. They can only come from other living forms. Life comes from
life.
That's one point he makes here. But even in case scientists argue that somehow from the chemicals only living form started, still Prabhupada says, who created the chemicals? Supreme Lord created chemicals and then all the living forms came. Either way, if you say living forms came from chemicals, still the same argument of God stands, because God only created the chemicals. That is His point. And the reality is that from chemicals no living forms have till date come. Nobody has seen them coming. Living forms come only from other living forms. Two arguments he is making. But why I am reading this purport for you, because unless we have a very strong foundational faith in Krishna being the source of everything. Our surrender to Krishna will be very superficial without that strong faith. The whole thing has begun from Krishna only. Therefore, the first verse is Janmadhyasya Yataha. That truth from which everyone has come, that is Krishna. So, in this way, he is offering many wonderful prayers. We will be skipping some and then we will go to some other. Okay, I will read only very vital ones. Go to the 41. Read the 41st translation. 41.
Being full of contradictions, all forms of religion but Bhagavad Dharma work under conceptions of fruitive results and distinctions of you and I and yours and mine. The followers of Srimad Bhagavatam have no such consciousness. They are all Krishna conscious, thinking that they are Krishna's and Krishna is theirs. There are other low-class religious systems which are contemplated for the killing of enemies or the gain of mystic power. But such religious systems, being full of passion and envy, are impure and temporary. Because they are full of envy, they are full of irreligion.
Now please read the second para purport. If one is actually Krishna conscious, he cannot have any enemies, he says. Read further.
Since his only engagement is to induce others to surrender to Krishna or God, how can he have enemies? If one advocates the Hindu religion, the Muslim religion, the Christian religion, this religion or that religion, there will be conflicts. History shows that the followers of religious systems without a clear conception of God have fought with one another. There are many instances of this in human history. But systems of religion that do not concentrate upon the service to the Supreme are temporary and cannot last for long because they are full of envy.
See, one place Prabhupada was about to begin his Jayarada Madhava, one place. And the Allahu Allah was going on in a mosque. So he waited for a while. And after they stopped, then he started the Kirtan. So, as soon as he began the lecture, one of the first things he said, just see, five times a day, how sincerely they are offering the prayer. So, Prabhupada was so genuine in his preaching. He was very open to appreciating anyone who surrendered to God. In one of his lectures, Prabhupada says, he had one Nai, Bob Barber, and he was a Muslim barber. So this barber was shaving Prabhupada, and while shaving, Prabhupada says that he asked him, "Hey Abdullah, what is the goal of your life? What is one thing that you want to do in your life?" Prabhupada says, he asked him. And Abdullah said, "You know, my greatest ambition is to make one mosque, at least a small one, in my life before I die," he said. And then Prabhupada says, "See, in India, even an average man, not so rich, poor man, he has a desire to make a small temple for God." This he quotes in one of his lectures, which clearly goes to show that Prabhupada has no enmity with Muslims, or with Christians, or with Hindus, or any other religious people. He is talking of that dharma which transcends all this, petty material religions. So here comes the important distinction between material religion and spiritual religion. Material religion means like Hinduism, Christianity, Islam, all these people fighting with one another. In Calcutta, Prabhupada saw the Hindu-Muslim fight, riots became so heavy. At one time, there were practically hundreds of Hindu Muslims had killed one another. And lorry came and put all the bodies of the dead people and it carried the municipality lorry. And Prabhupada said, in the lorry there was no distinction. Muslim and Hindu bodies were put together. Although they were separating themselves, claiming to be Hindu or Muslim, in the municipality truck, everybody's body was put together and taken just to be burned. Ultimately, only Panchamahabhut remains, isn't it? So, Prabhupada says that this kind of riots are created by very narrow-minded people who have material religion. Like all of you think for a moment, if you are going to take your material identity seriously, you will definitely have envy and quarrel with somebody. If I think I am a Tamilian, you think you are a Maharashtrian, we can have a fight. Or, you think you are a Karnataka and I think I am Tamil Nadu, we can fight for Kaveri. Only for our state only, isn't it? We can fight like that. So, and similarly, India-Pakistan, then there is a fight because of bodily consciousness. Correct, no? Similarly, I am Brahman, you are Shudra, then that is bodily consciousness. So, these are all material religions. Prabhupada, in one of the lectures, he was very upset. He was telling that this Brahmanas in India have really spoiled the dharma because they did not allow the lesser class people to come into the temple, like the Shudras and other people. Of course, how it all started was, the Brahmanas wanted to maintain cleanliness in temple, purity in temple. If somebody passes urine and comes into temple, it will become impure. Similarly, in Jagannath Puri, they don't allow foreigners to come, because sometimes foreigners, boys, girls come and they are embracing and kissing in the temple premises, and that spoils the purity. Therefore, there was strict standards kept in the temple. But eventually what happened, some fanatic Brahmanas, they started ill-treating the lower class people. They started, they said, when we walk, you can't even stand in the street. Therefore, you will find in Ramanuja Sampradaya, there is one pastime of one Tirupan Alvar. See, this Tirupan Alvar was actually a very, very pure devotee of the Lord. One day he was sitting in the bank of the river and he was playing his tampura, just like Tukaram. He was singing the glories of Lord Narayana with eyes closed and tears were coming in his eyes. At that time, Lord Vishnu's heart was melting. He was remembering him. So the pujari, who was a brahmana, went to fetch some water. So he went to the riverside and this pure devotee was sitting on the way. He said, "Move aside," he said. But he couldn't listen because he was absorbed in bhakti. So he took a small stone and he threw it on his head. As soon as the stone hit his head, it was a little bit bleeding. And immediately came to his external senses and moved aside. And he said, "I am very sorry. I didn't know that you wanted to go." Then the Brahmana fetched water and went. But when he went to the temple, Lord Vishnu was so angry with this Brahman, he closed the altar from all sides. The pujari was not able to open the room, from the side of the room, from the front of the room. Lord had completely, tightly closed the room, altar room. Pujari was running out of time, he had to go for offering. So then he begged the Lord, "My Lord, did you do any apradha that you are not opening, allowing me to open the altar?" Lord said, "You fool, what have you done to my devotee? Are you not ashamed?" Then the Lord said, "Go at once and bring my devotee Tirupan. Take him on your shoulders and seek forgiveness from him and bring him to me." So the pujari immediately ran to the riverside again. And then he told Tirupan, "The Lord wants to see you. Please come to the temple." Tirupan, and then the pujari said, but Tirupan said, no, I am untouchable. I am not, fit to come." So, but the Brahmana said, no, you have to come, Lord is calling you." But Tirupan said, "How can I put my foot in the temple? Lord's temple is very pure." Then the Brahmana said, "You don't have to put the foot, I will carry you on my shoulder." Then he carried him on his shoulder and brought him to the temple. That temple is there in South India. See, when the Lord came, when the Tirupan Alvar was carried by the pujari and he came in the veranda of the temple only. Lord left the altar, opened the altar and came out to the veranda. Out of the temple, Lord couldn't stay in the sanctum sanctorum. Lord jumped out of the altar and he came out to give him darshan. When he saw the darshan of the Lord, his whole body melted completely. On the spot he gave up his body, Tirupan, and he attained Vaikuntha. Instantly Lord transported into Vaikuntha. So, but why I am telling you, this type of love of God is actually the ultimate religion. You will find in the Christians, Jesus also propagated love of God. And he wanted to break all the barriers of ritualistic religion. So that's what here he says about the material dharma. See, what is material dharma? Let us say a few characteristics of material dharma. Material dharma is centered around I, me, mine. When people go to temple, I want, they will ask. Me, my family, my wife, my children, my caste, my people. So this is material religion. Spiritual religion means, devotee doesn't think of oneself at all. He only thinks of the Lord. It is said the gopis in Rasa dance, they thought of Krishna so much that they forgot themselves about their own identity. They completely forgot themselves. So bhakti, Shuddha Bhakti means forgetting oneself and remembering whom? Krishna. That is Shuddha Bhakti. We should not consider ourselves at all. We should consider only the Lord. Whereas material religion means people close their eyes, they don't even know who is standing in the altar. One time I asked, hey Shirdi Sai Baba, you are going to see what is written behind it. They said, I know something is written, I don't know what is written. Isn't it? That is the kind of worship they do. Although it is written Savka Malik Yek, people don't see that. But as soon as they go and see whether Vaishnavi Devi or Shirdi Sai Baba, they just close their eyes. Why they have to close their eyes? They have to recollect what all they want. That is material religion. Spiritual religion means you forget about yourself. You remember the Lord only. Oh, Krishna's mother, Yashoda. Krishna's father, Nanda. Krishna's friend, Sridhama, Sudhama, Madhumangala. You know, Krishna's sweetheart, Radharani. Krishna's dear cows and calves. Krishna's home in Vrindavan. So that becomes our absorption. See, if you are thinking about Krishna's relatives and everybody, you also go there. If you keep thinking about yourself, I need mine bubble, do we go there? Then you remain here only. Correct, no? It's very easy to understand. If you remember this, you go there. If you remember this, you'll be here only. You have to take birth again. So material religion means you have to come back again. Spiritual religion means you go back. Correct, no? Another thing, spiritual religion means, like our Rabindranath Tagore wrote one poem, where the knowledge is free, where the world is free from fear, like that he wrote a poem. Where the world is not broken into, you know, fragmental parts by narrow domestic walls. This is exactly what he meant. Which means, you know, we let us go beyond the barriers of caste, creed, color, nationality, gender and everything. So that Bhagavad Dharma transcends all this. And this is what Prabhupada did when he went to America. He gave Harinam freely to everybody. Irrespective of, you know, which country or which class they belong to. One place Prabhupada went in America to one farm. In that farm, there were nude people. They were cultivating potatoes. Somehow somebody arranged a program for Prabhupada there. Everybody was nude there. And children, old men, women, everybody was nude. So Prabhupada was told to give a lecture there. And Prabhupada asked in the lecture, what is the goal of your life? So one man raised a hand. Prabhupada said, yes, tell me. He said, to make potatoes, he said. Because in our farm we make a lot of potatoes. Prabhupada said, that is all right, but what is the ultimate goal of your life? He asked. So, in this way you will find that Prabhupada was free to give Krishna consciousness to anybody and everybody, liberally, without seeing jati, pati and all that. So that's what he is telling here, Chitra Ketu is telling. That Bhagavata Dharma does not produce envy. Like you see, Prahlad is not envious of Hiranyakashipu also. Ambarish is not envious of Durvasa. But if you practice Bhagavad Dharma, you go beyond all envy. See in that verse 41, last line in the verse, Sahi Avishuddha Kshayishnu Adharma Bahulaha. Those words are used, if you see. Mundane religions are Avishuddha, not pure. Kshayishnu, temporary. Adharma Bahulaha, full of the religion. He is telling. Whereas Bhagavad Dharma is beyond. See, next para, read the next para. Bhagavad Dharma is not a concocted sectarian belief because it shows the connection of everything to Krishna, Ishavasyam. And then Prabhupada is saying that everything can be used in Lord's service, everyone can engage, like that he goes on. So, in the next 42nd verse, read that for a translation. 42nd verse.
How can a Hare Krishna. How can a
Actually, going to, you can ask him, he will talk to you elaborately sometimes about this. If you read that small booklet that Srirangam temple they have produced, you will read that there is one place called Kumarapatti near Srirangam. So in that place, that is one place where they used to take Ranganath sometimes when there is a danger, that place. So how this killing took place, because they had thousands of kgs of gold in Srirangam. As soon as the Muslim king Kuluk Khan came to know that these people have a lot of gold, so immediately he waged a sudden war without any announcement with some of his people. And they attacked and they wanted to take away all the gold. Problem is, when you have too much money, you attack unnecessary elements. Correct, no? That was the first time attack. And there was subsequent attacks also to loot away all the money from the temple, because they were stocking a lot of money. In our temple also here, we don't put gold and silver and diamonds and all, we don't put for the deities, because it attracts unnecessary elements. Prabhupada didn't encourage that. Of course, in the Vedic times, the kings were very much keeping vigil. Lord can wear diamond and gold and silver, and the kings would offer protection in those times. But in the current times, the kings are, first of all, not building temples. You know, we have to collect funds and build temples. The leaders are very busy filling their pockets. So, and also protection, security, problems are increasing nowadays. Correct? No? So that was one reason why they unnecessarily attracted, number one. Number two, in case they wanted to have so much gold for the Lord, there has to be a high security system. Correct? No? When the Ulukans people came, these people, more than gold, they were worried about the deities will be stolen. So they formed a human chain and tried to stop them from further progressing. So the Mughals attacked them, and they wanted to cross over the human chain and then take away all the gold they took. So one lesson we learned from that episode is that we should not unnecessarily stock a lot of gold and attract envious elements who may cause even life damage to devotees. That's one lesson we learn. Another lesson we learn is there was one Muslim girl who was daughter of the king. I think Uluk Khan's daughter only, I think. She was in a teenager, young girl. So she became attracted to Ranganath, greatly attracted to Ranganath. In fact, she became a worshipper of Ranganath, and when she went to Ranganath's temple, she, just like Andal, entered the sanctum sanctorum of Ranganath. Similarly, this Muslim girl also became a pure devotee. She was one of the Lakshmi's expansions who appeared in the Muslim family. But she also, when they saw her entering in, she entered and she never came out. She actually attained the Vaikuntha. But the other Mughals were very upset by seeing this. They thought something else has happened. So they became very envious and they attacked all these Vaishnavas who were putting the human chain. So in the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya, if you read the commentaries of the Acharya about this, they say that actually it is Lord who took away all these Vaishnavas back to his abode. And although it externally appears like a massacre, in this everybody, because it was in Lord's interest that he took her back to his abode. So along with her, the Lord took them also back. Another point, the question he has asked about the mass conversion happening and everything. Actually, if you say somebody else is doing mass conversion, what are you doing to preach Krishna consciousness? Ask the question, how much time are you giving? You tell me. In a day you have 24 hours. How much time are you giving for propagating Krishna consciousness, tell me. So you can do two things. You can go and attack those people who are converting and try to stop them. Or instead you can preach Krishna consciousness and expand. Which is better?
Second one.
Yeah. First of all, how many Hindus do you think are taking to the bhakti path seriously? How many of them are chanting? There are so many fellows amongst Hindus even, they will not agree. If you ask them to chant one Maha Mantra, they will give you 1 hour of reason why they cannot chant. No, they will not chant. And why should you worry about conversion? At least if they become Christian and they do something, properly follow Bible, it is better. Actually, you will see that we may be envious of the people who are converting, because you think you are a Hindu. You are not a Hindu first. You are a soul, servant of Krishna. Similarly, in the Christian body also, there is a soul who is servant of Krishna also. In every body. That is what we are precisely talking here. Don't feel envious of anybody. You preach Krishna consciousness. See, every religion, in their preaching, what they should teach? They should teach love of God. They should not criticize other religions. You preach Krishna consciousness and you propagate. Let them preach also. Everybody preach. Like you are going to America and preaching, correct? No, can't they come to India and preach? What do you think? See, many Indian gurus went to America and preached yoga, pranayama, now even a Krishna consciousness. They gave open doors or not? When Prabhupada went to universities and Prabhupada went to preach, some of the purest of the Christians, Jews, they became gurus in ISKCON. So have they not given us freedom? Similarly, in India, if they are coming and preaching, let them preach. So instead of becoming envious of the preachers who are Christians or Muslims, why don't you preach? So you, in fact, there are many Christians, husband, wives, who have left their homes at the age of 25 or 30. They are not doing any karmi job. They are joining a church directly. You go to this Kalevadi, there are 100 couples, husband, wives. They are training them how to preach and they are going out and preaching. Now, how many couples can come and join here? Tell me full time to preach Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we should ask that question. We are not doing any homework, we are simply envying them. Hey, they are doing that. Okay, they are doing, you also do it. Our Kaunteya Prabhu used to say, somebody said, Prabhuji, in our same gully, Brahma Kumaris are coming. Prabhuji, in the same lane, Atta living is coming. They were telling, and Kaunteya Prabhu said, okay, in the same gully, what are you doing? That's what I am thinking. Don't think, preach. You make Krishna consciousness so attractive that everybody will come. Why are you envying others? Envying others, you can't do anything by envying. If you say that this is the purest thing, then you preach. Like when I began this Krishna Sainam, there were 20-30 people. But I thought that whether people come or not, we will, because we are reading from Prabhupada's purport and explaining, correct, no? We will do it now, more and more people are joining now, correct, no? So similarly, we keep doing it. You do the good work and God is watching, He'll be happy with you. That's all we can do. You cannot stop many people doing different things. Similarly, Ritviks also nowadays, they are also preaching everywhere. So why should you envy them? Preach also. See, you can do two things. See, you have got X amount of energy in your body now. One thing you can do is pull the leg of the Ritviks. Don't allow them to preach and all your X energy is finished. Or you do allow them to do whatever they are doing, you preach and make devotees. Which is better?
Second.
Second is better or first is better?
Second.
Yeah, that's what I tell everybody to do. Don't try to pull anybody else's leg. You do something good. You propagate. Therefore, your Bhagavata Dharma follower means you should not unnecessarily be envious of other material religions. Therefore, he uses this word, you see, avishuddha, shayishnuhu, adharma bahulaha, he says. It is not pure, it's temporary, it's full of religion, like that he says. Read the 42nd translation.
How can a religious system that produces envy of oneself and of others be beneficial for oneself and for them? What is auspicious about following such a system? What is actually to be gained by causing pain to one's own self due to self-envy, and by causing pain to others, one arouses your anger and practices irreligion?
In the first part of the purport, you see, Prabhupada says here, for example, there are many systems of religion in which animal sacrifices are recommended. And then he is talking about the goddess Kali, people offer a goat to Kali. This type of religions are low class, he says. You know, sometimes in meat shops they put the board, Kali Ka Mandir, they put a board like that. So Prabhupada says these are all very low systems of religion for very degraded people. Like that he says. So that was one of the points. And then he is saying his experience with Bhagavad Dharma. Go to 44. 44 translation.
My Lord, it is not impossible for one to be immediately freed from all material contamination by seeing you. Not to speak of seeing you personally, merely by hearing the holy name of your lordship only once. Even Chandalas, men of the lowest class, are freed from all material contamination. Under the circumstances, who will not be freed from the material contamination simply by seeing you?
In this way he is saying, you know, what to speak of seeing you face to face. Even if one doesn't see you, by hearing your name, chanting of the holy name, hearing the name itself, they become free from contamination. He is actually glorifying the name in this. You see the last paragraph, Yannama Sakrit Shravana. Read that. Holy name of the Supreme Lord is so powerful that if once heard, without offenses it can purify the lowest of men. Kirata Munanda Pulinda Purushai says. Read further.
Such men who are called Chandalas are less than Shudras. But they also can be purified simply by hearing the holy name of the Lord, not to speak of personally seeing the Lord. From our present position, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be personally seen as the deity in the temple.
Yeah. See, why is he glorifying the holy name here? Because he chanted the holy name, correct, no? And result of chanting the holy name was, now he is seeing the Lord eye to eye. No? Dhrumaraja chanted the holy name, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, and what was the result? He saw Vishnu face to face. So we are all chanting Hare Krishna and keep on chanting. Eventually you will come to see Hare and Krishna, Radha and Krishna, eye to eye, correct, no? So the first step is to chant the holy name, and what follows is the darshan of the Lord, eventually. So in this way, one gets to see the Lord eye to eye, but before seeing Pratyaksha, darshan of the Lord, we get the deity darshan, he's saying. Deity form of the Lord, he's saying. Next verse translation, it's about gratitude. Is it?
Therefore, my dear Lord, simply seeing you has now wiped away all the contamination of sinful activities and the results of material attachment and lusty desires which always filled my mind and the core of my heart.
What was this lusty desire, Chitraketus? Adamantly wanting to have a son. See, why is it considered a lusty desire? The definition of lust is adamantly wanting that which is prohibited. That is the definition of lust. For Chitraketu, in his destiny, there was no putra bhagya. But he adamantly wanted a putra. Therefore, it is considered lust. Similarly, Ravana wanted to enjoy another man's wife. So that is called lust, because it is prohibited. So what is the definition of lust?
Adamantly
wanting something that is
prohibited.
So in the Mahabharata, it is said, that which should not be desired, should not be desired. That which may be very difficult to obtain should somehow or other be obtained at any cost, no matter how difficult it may be. Like that it is said. So, see these two things. It says that which should not be desired should not be desired. For Ravana should not desire Sita. On the other hand, that which should be obtained at any cost. That is actually Krishna Prema. If you want to get Krishna Prema, it may be difficult to get, but we have to pay the price and we have to get it. Like that it says. So, his lusty desire was to adamantly have a son. Now he is saying, now all that mental attachment is gone, he is telling him. Yes, go ahead.
Whatever is predicted by the great sage Narada Muni cannot be otherwise. In other words, I have obtained your audience as a result of being trained by Narada Muni.
Yeah. First you get a guru, and the guru gives you mantra of the Lord. Then you chant the mantra. Then you see the Lord eye to eye. All contaminations are washed away, then the prema arises in the heart, and even after the Lord goes away, still you remember Him always. So these are the steps, one after other, that follows, yeah. And the 46th one, yeah.
O unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead, whatever a living entity does in this material world is well known to you because you are the Super Soul. In the presence of the sun, there is nothing to be revealed by the light of a glowworm. Similarly, because you know everything, in your presence there is nothing for me to make known.
Yeah. Actually, he is calling himself a glowworm and he is calling the Lord as sun. This is humility. This is another thing that happens when we see the Lord face to face. One becomes utterly humble, like the jugunu or the glowworm seeing the sun. Who gave this example? Anybody knows? Similar example? Brahma gave this example. Brahma said, my Lord, I am like a glowworm. Glowworm can show off only in the dark night. When people are ignorant, then I can show off to them. You know, when the sun rises, like when you appear, I have no existence, like that you say. Good, 48? Now it's ending with last prayer.
My dear Lord, it is after you endeavor that Lord Brahma, Indra and other directors of the cosmic manifestation become occupied with their activities. It is after you perceive the material energy, my Lord, that the senses begin to perceive. The Supreme Personality of Godhead holds all the universes on his heads like seeds of mustard. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the Supreme Personality who has thousands of hoods.
Yeah. See, if my hand wants to pick up this book, it cannot pick up the book unless my eyes see it. Correct, no? See, first of all, I have to know where the book is. Now the book is on the right side now. Or the book may be on the left side, isn't it? Now as soon as I want to pick up the book, what I will do first?
First you will see.
I will see where is it. Okay, it's on the left side. Then my hand will go there. Because the hand doesn't have the eyes. Hand needs the help of the eyes. So the eyes are compared to Paramatma. And the hand is compared to Jiva. So the Jiva cannot do anything without the help of Super Soul. So that's what he is saying here. Anything that Jiva does, it actually is initiated by the Lord first. So even all of us, when we get a desire in our heart, you know, it's like a flower, which is fragrant flower. The fragrance you smell from a distance. Like that the Super Soul smells your desire, even before you know it yourself. Right now, how many of you know what desires are there in your mind? Some of the prominent desires you have in your mind, you know? Correct, no? Oh, we all know it. You don't know it. Yeah. Now many hands are up. You know it. But there are also desires in your mind which you don't know. You may not be aware. And they are also known to whom?
Krishna.
Krishna, Super Soul. He knows them. So he knows your desires even before you know it yourself. One example I'll tell you. And Brahma saw Krishna and all the covered boys in the Vrindavan forest, you know. He wanted to put Krishna in some illusion. He wanted to take away the covered boys to check whether Krishna is God or not. Correct, no? When that desire came in Brahma's heart, immediately Krishna noticed it, that Brahma is desiring to trick me. So he understood it and Leela Shakti understood it. Immediately Krishna kept his covered boys in another safe place. And then Leela Shakti produced a set of Maya Arbaka, it is said, Maya children, which was stolen by
Brahma.
And then you all know what Krishna did. He expanded himself as covered boys and everything. Which means there were totally three sets of children. Who can say what are the three sets of children? Only one you say, which one? The first one is Lord's real friends. So the real friends, they were kept by the Lord in another safe place. Because Lord didn't want them to be taken by
Brahma.
Brahma. Who else can say second? Yes? Maya said produced Maya Arbaka. Just like Maya Sita, correct, no?
Yes.
Similarly, Maya children are produced by Leela Shakti. And the third one? Yes?
Lord expanded himself.
Lord expanded himself. Can you imagine? See, Leela Shakti and Lord knew Brahma's desires, which Brahma was not aware. Swayameva Mohitaha, it is said. Brahma was cheated. So therefore we should know, he says that Lord endeavors first and then we endeavor. Lord enters the universe first and then he agitates the universe. Then the universe is set in motion. He is the operator of the cosmic machine. We cannot make this universe function. When I heard it in Bhagavatam, I was shocked. The first time I heard that all 24 elements came, all jivas came, all sense devatas came. Still this universe was like dull matter. Nothing was moving until Lord Super Soul entered. Then this universe was set in motion. That's what he is telling. So now his prayers are over here. And then Shukadeva Goswami is telling. Read the translation next one. What next?
Shri Shukha Uvacha.
Samstuto Bhagavan Evam.
Samstuto Bhagavan Evam.
Anantastam Abhashata.
Anantastam Abhashata.
Vidyadara Patim Pritas.
Vidyadara Patim Pritas.
Chitraketum Kurudvaha.
Chitraketum Kurudvaha.
Yeah.
Shukadeva Goswami continued. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadeva, being very much pleased with the prayers offered by Chitraketu, the king of the Vidyadharas, replied to him as follows, O best of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Parikshit.
See, now the Lord is speaking to him. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha,
Yad Naradam Gidyo Vyamte,
Yad Naradam Gidyo Vyamte.
Yeah, this is Narada and Angira. From both of them, you have learned from both of them. Vyahritam menu shasanam,
Vyahritam menu shasanam,
Samsiddho sitaya raja,
Samsiddho sitaya raja,
Vidyaya darshanachame,
Vidyaya darshanachame.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Anantadeva, replied as follows, O King, as a result of your having accepted the instructions spoken about me by the great sages Narada and Angira, you have become completely aware of transcendental knowledge. Because you are now educated in the spiritual science, you have seen me face to face. Therefore, you are now completely perfect.
Lord is giving a certificate. You are now completely perfect. Can you imagine? To get such a certificate from Krishna's mouth, it's not very easy. See the purport, first line.
The perfection of life is to be spiritually educated and to understand the existence of the Lord and how He creates, maintains and annihilates the cosmic manifestation. When one is perfect in knowledge, he can develop his love of Godhead through the association of such perfect persons as Narada and Angira and the members of the disciplic succession. Then one is able to see the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Although the Lord is
unlimited,
by His causeless mercy, He becomes visible to the devotee.
Here, see, very carefully we should hear Prabhupada's purports. What He says, the first thing He says, we should become spiritually educated. And when you become spiritually educated, what happens? You get understanding of the existence of the Lord. And what is the meaning of understanding the existence of the Lord? Like how Krishna expands as three Vishnus. How the first Vishnu expands all the universes. Second Vishnu creates supporting planetary systems, and then Virat Purusha and all, that is Garbhadaksha Vishnu. Then the third Vishnu enters into every atom. In this way you understand how the Lord creates the world, maintains the world, annihilates the world. So one should study these things very philosophically, thoroughly, he says. And if you get spiritually educated, therefore you have Bhakti Shastri and all, correct, no? Then after that, you understand the existence of the Lord. And then you will develop love for God, he says, by that knowledge. Because you start seeing the world through Shastra Chakshu. Then you develop love. And then once the love awakens, eyes get Premanjana Charita. Then you can see the Lord face to face, he says. And then one may ask, how can I see the Lord? He is so great. No, no, no. Lord becomes visible to His devotee by His mercy, he says like that. So all the steps are given here. So what is the first step in this? In seeing the Lord face to face?
Become educated.
Spiritually get educated. By that what happens? Understanding develops. When the understanding develops about creation, maintenance, annihilation and all, then what happens? Love for Godhead develops by that. See how wonderful Krishna is creating all these plants and, you know, trees, and look at how He is giving us rains. Everything you see from Shastric perspective, then you develop an affection for Him, like that. Actually, two types of things make us develop affection. Like there is one song, the Lord, the meaning of the song, I tell you, you will not understand Tamil, otherwise I can sing in Tamil. It's a very beautiful Tamil song, one Vaishnava poet saying, Neelam Neham Pole Yerupa, Bhaktar Halun Nenjanile Kude Yerupa. He says, the Lord is bluish, He has a bluish cloud-like body, which is very soft. And His residence, anybody knows? Krishna resides in which place? In Vrindavan, you will say. No, He resides in the heart of His devotees, he says. Bhaktar Halun Nenjanile Kude Yerupa. His favorite residence is the heart of His devotees. And what is His favorite activity? He says, to play on His flute and attract all His devotees. That is His most favorite activity. And to exchange love with His devotees. So this is one type of knowledge about the Lord. His personality, His activities, His residence, His playfulness and all that. But this is a very advanced thing. Before one goes to this, more from a fundamental thing is, to learn about how he creates this world, you know? How he maintains it, how he annihilates it, what is his karma, what is kala, what is guna, you know? how things are. So that is explained in the Shastra. So both levels of, so Prabhupada used to say Kurukshetra Krishna and Vrindavan Krishna. First you should hear about whom?
Kurukshetra.
Kurukshetra Krishna teaches which book?
Bhagavad Gita.
Bhagavata. Vrindavan Krishna?
Bhagavata.
Right, no? So therefore, Vrindavan Krishna means you can fall in love. Or Kurukshetra Krishna means you can get enlightened. So both, anybody, first get enlightened, then you can fall in love. Without enlightenment, somebody falls in love, what is it called?
Sahajya.
Sahajya is correct, no? Therefore Prabhupada says like this, this purpose. Aham vai sarva bhutani.
Aham vai sarva bhutani.
Bhutatma bhuta bhavanah.
Bhutatma bhuta bhavanah.
Shabda brahma param brahma.
Shabda brahma param brahma.
Namo ve shashvati tanu.
Namo ve shashvati tanu.
See, Lord is telling about his two forms. These two forms are mine, namely the transcendental sound, holy name, and the eternally blissful deity form. These are my eternal forms, they are not material, he is telling. And then in the purport, in the sixth line, Prabhupada is saying, in the purport, do you read that? As stated in Bhagavad Gita, when one engages in devotional service 24 hours a day, tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam, in accordance with the instructions of the Guru, then his devotion service becomes more and more pleasing. So when will your devotion service become more and more pleasing?
Under the instruction of Guru.
Now see, here it says, you have to engage in devotion service how many hours a day? 24 hours a day. That time, according to the order of Guru, you have to engage 24 hours a day. If you do that, then your devotion service become more and more pleasing. You can try it. Maximize Krishna time, minimize Maya time, we say like that. See, Maya time means there are two types of material activities we all do. One material activity is necessities of the body, namely 6 hours you have to sleep. Two hours goes in eating and bathing and nail cutting and, you know, shaving and all those things, isn't it? It goes like that. So these are all necessary bodily activities. You can't avoid them. You have to do it. But there is another type of activity which we all do, which is unnecessary bodily activities, which is actually called asat cheshta. Asat cheshta means, like for example, somebody wants to go to watch a movie. Will you die without watching a movie? Is it a necessary activity? Isn't it? Similarly, people may spend so much of time in useless WhatsApp messages which have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. So these are all asat cheshta, correct, no? Atyahara prayasya prajalpa niyamagraha janasangha chalavajyam. All of them are asat cheshta. Bodily activities which are useless activities. So out of these two, what a devotee can do? Do necessary bodily activities and avoid unnecessary bodily activities, correct, no? And then rest of the time use in Krishna service, that is called 24 hours. Like that Bhaktivinoda Thakur says like that. So, and then devotion service become more and more pleasing to you. Then the Supreme Lord within the core of everyone's heart speaks to the devotee. Dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam payantite. Chitraketu was first instructed by his two gurus, Angira and Narada, and he followed their instruction. 24 hours he practiced devotion service. Now he has come to the stage of seeing the Lord face to face, and the Lord is now instructing him, speaking to him. See, seeing Super Soul doesn't mean that you are watching Super Soul is seeing you and both are keeping quiet. No. Seeing Super Soul means Super Soul will give you instruction. Dadame buddhi yogantam. Like Guru is giving you instruction. Like the Super Soul will give instruction. So, here is a secret that Prabhupada opens up. When will Super Soul speak to you? Who can say? Without seeing the book or seeing the purport. Who can say? When will the Super Soul speak to you? So how many of you wish to hear Super Soul speaking to you? Yeah. Already speaking to you through the Guru. Guru's lecture is actually Super Soul's. Guru is called the Super Soul's amplifier. Like if I speak in the mic, amplifies. Like that, whatever Super Soul says, the Guru amplifies and gives you. Same thing he speaks. But you can directly also hear from Super Soul. It's possible. But for that, what is the first step? Prabhupada says, who can say? Let us take from Mataji's side. Prabhupada has already answered some question. Anybody? See, why I am asking this question? When purport points are sometimes read out, we tend to little bit be careless. But this purport has secret revealed. By what is the first step before Super Soul can speak to us? Anybody? Yes, Mataji? Okay, how to purify the heart? By chanting. Of course, your point is well taken. By chanting, purify the heart. But hear what Prabhupada says. Perfect. Mataji said that one Hari Bol Paragar. Hari Bol. Engaging in devotional service 24 hours a day. So, some grihasthas may be raising their eyebrows. Why this Prabhupada is saying 24 hours a day? We have no other business. Therefore, I told you, what is the meaning of 24 hours? We have to do bodily activities necessary. There are necessary bodily activities and there are unnecessary bodily activities. So we have to cut off unnecessary bodily activities. And necessary bodily activities can be done. Like Prabhuji's have to go to office, they have to make some money and bring for the home. Mataji's have to raise their children, do some household chores and everything. They can do all that. Apart from that time, even during the time we can combine Krishna consciousness. When Mataji's are cooking, they can hear some kirtana lecture, they can hear, correct? Even if Prabhuji's are driving their car to the office, they can hear lectures while going. Some people are very intelligent to connect to what you call a parallel processing. They can parallelly do some material unspiritual activity also. Like you are taking a bath. It is said that if you are taking bath and you are singing Krishna's name, so along with the bath, mantra snanam also happens. So you become purified. Your body is actually purified. If anybody takes a bath without uttering the Lord's names, such bath is considered to be still making you impure, according to Shastra. In this way we can combine all our activities with holy name and everything. So like Mataji said just now, 24 hours engagement in devotional service in accordance of the Guru, what it does to you, who can say? If you do that, 24 hours you are always either reading or chanting or doing some seva, always 24 hours you are engaging, what happens? Okay, he's busy. By that being busy, what happens? Yeah, devotional service becomes pleasing. Correct. See, devotional service should become pleasing. Is our chanting pleasing every day? No, because we rarely chant. 116 rounds are over, we keep it away, correct, no? But if we chant more, it will become pleasing. Similarly, hearing katha also, some people look at the watch. Why? Because we are not used to hearing for long time. But hear long katha, you will never look at the watch. It will become very pleasing. You will see like that. So this is one secret that is revealed here. Because Krishna says, satatam kirtayanto maam, correct, no? Satatam means for long, prolonged period of time, continuously, he says. And it becomes pleasing. So when devotion service becomes pleasing to you, then what happens? After that, he says, the Supreme Lord in your heart, he becomes pleased with you and he speaks to the devotee. Oh, my dear devotee, your devotion service is pleasing to me also, not only to you. It's very pleasing to me. Unless it is pleasing to me, it won't be pleasing to you, the Lord will say. Isn't it? Unless the Lord is pleased with you, you won't find devotional service pleasing. When the Lord is satisfied, he will speak to you. In the Bhagavatam 4th canto, there is one episode when this Malayadvaja dies, in the forest. Vaidarbhi and Malayadvaja are husband wife. They go to the forest for Vanaprastha. In the forest, every day she is serving him faithfully. And he is performing and doing devotional service, sitting and doing. So one day when he is lying down, the wife is massaging his feet and suddenly his feet become chill. And the wife understands, now he has passed away. And she loudly cries. Oh, now I am all alone now. He has left me. And at that time, one brilliant looking Brahmana arrives there. And he tells this, by the way, that do not worry, you are never alone. Don't you know, as super soul, that super soul and soul are like two swans in a lake. So the Brahmana tells, your heart is like a lake in which there are two souls. One is soul and super soul. So you are never alone. And then he gave her some good instruction, by hearing which that Vaidarbhi became completely free from all anxieties. And that Brahmana is not different from Super Soul. But Super Soul came in the form of a Brahmana. Why? Because for not very advanced devotees, he will come in the form of a Brahmana. Those who are pure-hearted, completely pure-hearted, like one of the Mataji said, when one is completely pure-hearted, then Super Soul will come in, you know, in 400 pounds. Sankachari Kadapati, he will give darshan and he will speak to the devotee. So in this way the Lord will speak to us. Like you all have heard the Lord speak to you sometimes when you are about to do wrong, you what you call as guilt. That is Super Soul only. Your mind says, go ahead. Super Soul says, no, don't do it. Correct? No? So you will see that the Lord is warning us from doing anything wrong. The Lord is inspiring us to do the right. Especially the more we practice devotion service, we get. And then this way Lord is speaking, let us go ahead. See the verse number 52, translation.
In this world of matter, which the conditioned soul accepts as consisting of enjoyable resources, the conditioned soul expands thinking that he is the enjoyer of the material world. Similarly, the material world expands in the living entity as a source of enjoyment. In this way, they both expand. But because they are my energies, they are both pervaded by me. As the Supreme Lord, I am the cause of these effects. And one should know that both of them rest in me.
See, what is the meaning of expansion? See, sometimes the children are given one sandbox. You know what is a sandbox? Like you all are sitting in a blanket now. Assume that this blanket in which you are sitting is a sandbox. That much size. They make some little, this much height walls they make. Inside which they put a lot of sand. And they put some seesaw for the children to play. Sometimes they have a slide for the children to come. Like in our temple also we have the play corner. You've seen that? Yeah. See, parents when they come, the children may say to parents, you go and take darshan, I will be playing here. So for them the small sandbox, you know, that becomes the entire world. It expands in their heart. They want to keep on playing all day with their friends, different games. And they forget the world completely. Similarly, you see a man in an IT company, for example, you know, he is sitting in the synthetic office making money, and that becomes his little world. And that world expands. Expands means what? I will go abroad. I will make triple amount of money. I will put money in this bank. And I will learn some latest things that are coming up. Then I will leave this company and join that company. So he is living in a little world. Similarly, a teenager is living in a dream world. Somebody has a dream boy or a dream girl or a dream job or dream this, dream that. Everybody has a dream and they live in a dream world. So you all can see that people live absorbing themselves in one little world, they expand it in their mind. Correct, no? They expand it. So that becomes everything for them. Or in other words, you can say they are orbiting around it. They are orbiting. Like Chitraketu and Pitajuti, they were orbiting around whom? Harshashoka. They were orbiting around that. It was everything for them. See, we orbit around those things to which we are attached to. We orbit. Shastra say that uplift yourself beyond that attachment to the Supreme Lord in the spiritual sky. You are supposed to orbit around Him. So that's what he is telling here, this about how within our heart the material world expands and in this way the jiva, when he comes into this world, he expands his field of enjoyment. That's what is explained here. Go to 53-54. See, I'll tell you the essential thing. What is this 53-54? It's a big translation. But I'll tell you, but this is a very important translation. You all know the four stages, Jagriti, Swapna, Shushupti, Samadhi. Right now you are all in which state now?
Jagriti.
Night when you are sleeping you get dream, that is?
Swapna.
Beyond that dream you go to sleep, deep sleep. What is it?
Shushupti.
And morning when one is chanting with full absorption and attention, you know, attentively hearing the holy name, that is?
Samadhi.
You call it. Here he is telling a very interesting thing. In all these four states, Lord is awake, whereas the jiva is not awake. The jiva is awake only in Jagriti. In Swapna, he is dreaming about something else. In Shushupti, he is completely ignorant. And in Samadhi, he is alert. So, the purport is very important. Read the purport first 10 lines.
None of these conditions of the living entities, namely deep sleep, dreaming and wakefulness is substantial. They are simply displays of various phases of conditional life. There may be many mountains, rivers, trees, bees, tigers and snakes that are situated far away, but in a dream one may imagine them to be nearby. Similarly, as one has subtle dreams at night, when the living entity is awake, he lives in gross dreams of nation, community, society, possessions, skyscrapers, bank balance, position and honor. Under the circumstances, one should know that his position is due to his contact with the material world. One is situated in different positions in various forms of life that are all but creations of illusory energy, which works under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
I'll explain this. This is a very vital example that's given here. See, one time some of our devotees went to one farmhouse. In that farmhouse, they told them, the farm top people warned the devotees that evening after 6 o'clock, you people should not come out. They said, but our devotees asked, why? You know, we can walk, we want to go for a walk little bit, you know, till 7:30 and come. They said, no, if you walk in this road a little deep inside, you know, you will come across elephants, cheetah, lion, tigers, snakes, because the thick jungle is very nearby. Sometimes those things little come out also. So in the past there has been instances of people, human beings attacked by tigers and all. So you don't go in this direction, like that they want. After hearing that, devotees were shocked. So one devotee in the night, you know, he screamed and you know, rolled up from the bed because he got a dream. So devotees asked, what dream he got? He said, Prabhuji, everything that he told came in the dream. Actually, I was walking in that road and this fellow was telling, don't go, he was telling. I did hear him, I went on walking. I ran into the forest. Suddenly I saw an elephant coming. I took about and ran. Then they said tiger was coming. Then I climbed up a tree. In the tree there was a big cobra. And then he said I fell off my bed. So I was telling him, see, he told you not to go. You never went. But why did you get them in the dream? Now here comes a secret. If you are either attached to someone or if you are fearful of someone, they both will come in your dream. In your subtle body, they will come very close to you in the dream. If they are far away, if either you are attached to them, you are averse to them, or fearful of them, they will come closer. What is attached or averse or fearful in the Jagrati state, in the Swapna state, they will come very close to you. You understand, no? Like for example, if somebody watched some Bollywood movie, for example, and he became attached to the actor or actress. Night he goes home, he's singing that, murmuring that cinema song and he's going to sleep, closing the eyes. So suddenly he finds that the actor or actress is right next to the person. Correct, no? He finds them because he's very
attached.
Correct, no? Similarly, if you are fearful also, you know, in the Jagrati state somebody told you, hey, take care. In the night, you know, make sure you close the window, otherwise a ghost will come. It will show the skeleton. Laugh. You know, somebody tells you, be very careful. That's the only small problem here. Otherwise, this room is a very nice room. Otherwise, there's no other problem. And the night when you sleep, you forgot to close the window. Suddenly, in the dream, you will get ghost will come. Correct, no? You get frightened. So, which means what you hear in Jagrati state, which is far away, in the dream it comes
far good.
Now, what is he saying? The Lord is saying, in this world, whatever things are very close to you right now, to which you are attached, they seem to be very close to you, but actually they are not close to you, he's saying. Because they are things which come, stay and go away. Just like in a dream, those objects, they come, they stay and they go away. And why they have come close? Because of your attachment or fear. Therefore they have come close. For example, somebody wants certain object, like you wanted a car. You worked very hard and at last you got the car. And you touched the car and said, I got the car at last. Or I got the house I wanted. Oh, I got the money that I wanted, I got the money. Now I have the money in my hand. So we, whatever you are attached to or fearful of that comes to you, stays and
goes away.
And it is coming to you only because of your attachment, he says, and fear. Therefore, those who are devotees of the Lord should rise above such attachments and fears, he is telling. Raga, Dvesha, in that verse he says, we should rise above it. So, for example, if in the Jagrati state I hear about Krishna and I develop attachment for him, what will happen when I am sleeping in the night?
Krishna's dream will come.
Yeah, Krishna will come close to you tonight. Prabhupada said, in temples, ISKCON temples abroad, devotees would read Krishna book in the night along with hot milk. Prabhupada said, if you do that, you will get Krishna dreams, which is very wonderful. Then suddenly you will be sleeping at night and you will see, you know, cows will be passing, calves will be passing, Krishna will be herding the cows and calves, along with Balram and all the covered boys, Yamuna will be flowing, Radharani and all her sakis. So these kind of dreams will come. Therefore, Prabhupada said that you will get Krishna dreams. The more you hear about Krishna, the Jagrati state. So what you absorb yourself in as attachment, fear, in the Jagrati state, that's what comes in your subtle platform also. Like, you know, when I was in Chowpatty, I used to hear a lot about, we used to go on the weekend. We used to hear kathas with very great absorption. Parampuja Radhanath Maharaj and Parampuja Giriraj Maharaj. They would give almost 3 to 4 programs on Saturdays and Sundays. In those days there were a lot of programs. They were cultivating new people in those days. Morning and then daytime and then evening and then night also programs. And amazingly, they spoke from Krishna pastimes, the 10th canto, like Yashoda Krishna, Krishna and covered boys. So those kind of pastimes of Vrindavan. Paramahansa Radhanath Maharaj speak one asura vada every day. Trinavrata, Shakatasura, like that he would speak. And Zora Giraj Maharaj would speak butter selling pastimes and all those things. So I would hear regularly, many weeks I heard. So after that, when I returned to Pune, I went to Madhuran Flat Company. They had multi-stage pumps, you know. Multi-stage pumps, you have seen that? You know, one pump, then second pump, third pump, fourth pump, like that. So when I came to company and saw multi-stage pump, it appeared like Ashoka has kept butter hanging in the rafter. So my boss was telling, Karisham, see that multi-stage pump, it is a 5-stage pump. You have to make a program for it. I said, yes sir, but I was thinking it's like the Yashoda's, and the butter is kept in the pot hanging. Instead of hanging from the rafter, it is kept down, I was thinking. Because you hear katha of the Lord, that's what you will remember. Your mind will get absorbed in it. Otherwise, whatever we hear and develop attachment to, that comes in our swapna also. And then we keep on absorbing more and more, and then when the object is taken away, we cry. Right now. So therefore he is telling here, God is saying this, Jagrati, Swapna, Shushupti, Samadhi. We have to become so pure at heart that in Samadhi stage we can constantly be in spiritual touch. That is the ultimate goal. So, in this way there are some, I selected verses, okay, go to 59 verse.
स्मृत्वेहायां परिक्लेशं ततःफलविपर्ययम् अभयं चाप्यनीहायां संकल्पात् विरमेत् कविः
Remembering the great trouble found in the field of activities performed for fruitive results, and remembering how one receives the reverse of the results one desires, whether from material actions or from the fruitive activities recommended in the Vedic literatures, an intelligent man should cease from the desire for fruitive actions. For by such endeavors one cannot achieve the ultimate goal of life. On the other hand, if one acts without desires for fruitive results, in other words, if one engages in devotional activities, he can achieve the highest goal of life with freedom from miserable conditions. Considering this, one should cease from material desires.
See, what is fruitive activity? Fruitive activity means that activity which you do for your own enjoyment. Like people, for example, marry and they beget children and they do business, they make money, they purchase land, they expand their property, they beget children and grow them, and then they show off to their relatives. that what all I have done in my life. See me, see my children, see our dynasty, see our vamsh, how great we are. Correct, no? So, in this way they become very proud in their family. This is actually constitutive activity. And the example is given in the next 60th verse. Read the translation.
As husband and wife, a man and woman plan together to attain happiness and decrease unhappiness, working jointly in many ways. But because their activities are full of desires, these activities are never a source of happiness, and they never diminish distress. On the contrary, they are a cause of great unhappiness.
Yeah. Sometimes the husband and wife come together, husband is doing job, wife is not doing, and then they both think, oh, the husband is bringing money, it's not enough. The wife can also go for a job and make money, it will be better, because they have, their heart is full of desires. So the husband says, don't worry, I will teach you how to drive a bike. So you have seen some husbands teaching wives how to drive a bike, correct? No? Then she starts driving a bike. Our husband is teaching her how to drive a car. So they actually cooperate with one another in order to expand their happiness. Correct? No? Now that wife is thanking husband, now I can drive myself, I can go to office. She's making money. Have they become happy now?
No.
No. Because the child is not getting attention of the parents. They have put somebody to take care of the child, servant maid, she's not taking very good care. They're unhappy. So if the wife doesn't go for a job, takes care of the child, child is happy, but then the total family is not happy because they have no enough money. But if more money is there, they are not able to give love and affection to child, then that causes unhappiness. Correct, no? Similarly, the heart is full of desires. Meaning what? Sometimes the husband or wife, one out of the two is greedy. They feel that this house is small, let's go for a bigger house. Correct, no? Or sometimes they say, you know, we are devotees, if we go abroad and make some money quickly, 3-4 years we go and make money and come back. Then we can live peacefully in India, right next to temple, we can have a house and everything. They make good plan, maybe their intention is good. But then they go abroad sometimes and they get lost abroad making money, and then they think, you know, sometimes they cook food and keep for 2-3 days because there is no time to cook. Keep in the fridge and use a microwave oven to heat it and eat it. Like that. So life becomes more miserable than in India also sometimes. So in this way you will see that because their desires are all material desires for expanding their material happiness, it's never a source of happiness, is telling. As long as such desires exist. Therefore one should connect to devotional service, is saying. Because when devotional service becomes... see, yesterday I was in a train. In the train I was sitting, I saw one husband, wife, and 2 children, one little daughter and little son. They were from village. They were just sitting below that wash basin, you know, in the train. I took pity on them. Then my assistant Sujit Prabhu had gone to the other bogie. So I told that man, all of you come here, you can sit in my seat. So I was sitting, next to me the man was sitting and his wife and children. Then when Sujit Prabhu came, then they were all getting up because he's supposed to sit in the seat. Then I told my assistant, remove all the luggage from the top and put it below and allow them to sit there. Then he gave the top berth for them to sit. And husband, wife, 2 children, they were so satisfied up, as if you have given them a big asset or something. Then I was remembering that even many years ago when I would travel in a train, if I would just get the top berth, you have seen the small berth, you know, it's like a little house, correct, no? You feel very satisfied, very happy. But if you gradually start going in, say, second AC, and then you go in first AC you get a separate room also, correct, no? Correct, you get a separate room. You travel in first AC for a few months, and then you go back to the, you know, sleeper class. How many of you feel very uneasy there in sleeper class? Correct, no? In this way, our mind gradually develops need for more and more luxury. From sleeper to second AC, second AC to first AC. Then even if you are given a berth in a sleeper class in the top, alone, nobody else is there, you are alone. Still the mind is not satisfied. Mind says, you know, something missing. Correct, no? Something is missing. Like that the mind feels. But I saw this family, they were very grateful. Why they were grateful? They were sitting in the floor. When they were given this small place, they were so satisfied. As if we have done them a great favor. We didn't do any big favor, but they felt like that. Therefore, he is telling a husband, wife will become completely satisfied if they keep their material life simple and spiritual life intense. The more spiritual life is taken seriously, in contact with Krishna we get spiritual bliss. And that bliss will compensate for all our other needs. And one should not try to expand material life in such a way. Because the material life has no end only. Like I told you, first you can be in sleeper class, then you can go to second AC, you know. And then you can go to first AC. Then you will say, anyway, first AC is almost equal to aeroplane only, better go in plane only. Right, no? Then somebody will say, this plane is too slow, is there a better, faster plane? Then you go for the fastest plane possible. No? Beyond that, what to do? You have to get a Garuda only. So you will find that our mind always wants better and better and better material comfort and luxury. It doesn't become satisfied very easily. And if you give anything inferior, mind will scream. Therefore, the Lord is telling here that husband, wife come together and they make a lot of plans to make the home a happy home. And also you will find they want to keep the home happy, but often quarrels come. And quarrels, the root cause of quarrel is unmet expectations. Unmet, unrealistic expectations. Repeat.
Unmet, unrealistic expectations.
From whom? From each other. That's the problem. Like husband has expectation from wife, wife has expectation from husband, parents have expectation from children, you know, mother-in-law, father-in-law have expectation from daughter-in-law, isn't it? You know, they are saying, daughter-in-law means, aisa karna chahiye. Then you ask them, okay, daughter-in-law will do all that, what about you? If daughter-in-law starts saying, aapko bhi aisa rana chahiye, if she tells, can they follow? Everybody is very eager to tell others how they should be. But nobody asks, can you please also tell me how I should be? Correct, no? So everybody has unmet, unrealistic expectation, which causes frustration. But when you come to devotional service, this goes away, no? Because you start thinking, my God, I am such a fallen person. I become angry for small things. I become unrealistically, I am demanding from others. If others commit mistake, I scold. But what about me? I commit so many mistakes. So in this way, we become humble. When we become humble, our expectation from others becomes reduced. Then they also can breathe peacefully. And you can also breathe peacefully. Then life becomes happier. Like that the Lord is telling. So, we are in 62. It's over now. Only we are concluding now. 61, 62, translation quickly. One should understand that the activities of persons who are proud of their material experience bring only results contrary to those such persons conceive while awake, sleeping and deep sleeping. And then he is saying, by the strength of one's discrimination, one should give up the desire for fruitive results in the present life and in the next. Thus becoming experienced in concept and knowledge, one should become my devotee. Basically what is he saying here? In material life, some people are very proud of their experience. They say, I know how to, you know, bargain in the market and purchase something. I am expert in bargaining. Or some people say that I am, like here he says, they are proud of their material experience. But eventually they will be cheated by material nature. Even such experienced people, he is saying. Nobody should be proud. Rather, one should actually aspire for spiritual experience, he is telling. Say, for example, one devotee may be very expert in finding fault in other devotees and correcting them. But then later on you find that type of finding fault and correcting doesn't help. Rather, it floods our mind with negative thoughts. Then that has become contradictory to advancement in devotional service. Correct, no? Similarly, sometimes our expertise can create a problem. One example I'll tell you. You go to somebody and tell him, Prabhu, you don't know how to do this. You know, Prabhu, I am very expert at it, you say. Then what you will say, Prabhu, can you please teach me? Then next 2 hours are gone for you. So those who are very proud of their expertise will lose time like this with many, many people. Because they have to go around telling others what I know, what you don't know. Correct, no? So Lord is telling here, one should not be proud of one's material expertise in this world. Because such people, like one father was a doctor. He wanted to make his son a very big doctor. But the son wanted to become an engineer. Father became wild. He said, I am a doctor. My wife is a doctor. My parents are doctors, my brothers and sisters are doctors. In our family, nobody has been an engineer. Therefore, you must become a doctor. But the son said, no, I want to become an engineer. Father got frustrated. There is a big fight at home. That's what God is saying here. Never be proud of your own expertise in your own field. That will increase your ahankar. And that ahankar will trouble whom? Whom? It will trouble whom? It will trouble both. It will trouble you and trouble others also. Hiranyakashipu's ahankar troubled whom? It troubled himself also, and it troubled Prahalad also, and troubled everybody. Therefore, Lord says, give up the ahankar that I know best. I am a specialist. Give up that ahankar, he says. Like that the Lord is saying. You know, Brahma was very proud, I am managing the whole universe. In Dwaraka, when he went, what Lord asked him? Which Brahma has come to the door? Correct, no? Then he called all the Brahmas of other universes and he curbed his pride. That's what Lord is saying. And then, the 63rd, you see, read it quickly, translation, we want to conclude.
Persons who try to reach the ultimate goal of life must expertly observe the Supreme Absolute Person and the living entity who are one in quality in the relationship as part and whole. This is the ultimate understanding of life. There is no better truth than this.
Actually, we are also as pure as the Lord. Because Lord is Satchidananda, we are also Satchidananda. We are on equal platform for reciprocating with each other. And one one should come to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. Na shochati?
Na kaṅkṣati.
Na kaṅkṣati. So that is what he's telling about Lord and the Jiva, one should see. Yeah. And then Lord is concluding, you will achieve the highest perfection by knowing this. And last 65th verse.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Shri Shuka Uvacha.
Ashvasya Bhagavan Ittham.
Ashvasya Bhagavan Ittham.
Chitraketum Jagat Guru.
Chitraketum Jagat Guru.
Pashyatastasya Vishwatma.
Pashyatastasya Vishwatma.
Tatashchantar Dadhe Harihi.
Tatashchantar Dadhe Harihi.
Translation.
Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued. After thus instructing Chitraketu and assuring him of perfection in this way, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Spiritual Master, the Super Soul, Sankarshan, disappeared from that place as Chitraketu looked on.
So Chitraketu spoke to the Lord and Lord spoke to Chitraketu. At least that those prayers you have completed. Most of the vital verses you have completed. I didn't rush through to the next chapter today because that can be finished in one sitting. This chapter 17. Next time when you all come, we will do Mother Parvati because Chitraketu, very important chapter. In case I started it, I would have left it halfway. I thought better do full justice to this as well as that. So next class we will finish chapter number 17. I think it is Krishna Sanam in the first Sunday of next month. So it's not very far from now. 4th, I think, is it August? 5th, 5th August, yeah. 5th August, we will have Krishna Sanam and we will complete the 17th chapter there. Shri Prabhupada ki. Prabhupada ki. See, these prayers are full of valuable teachings from both Chitraketu side as well as Lord's side. Therefore, we devoted some time. Those who wrote the questions, I will answer you personally. You can meet me after the session.
Vishnu, we thank Prabhuji by loudly chanting. Next Krishna Rasana would be on 5th of August, and also we have Hindi Krishna.